واتقينا صل على محمد صل على سفينا صل على محمد صل على نبينا.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
غير المغضوب عليهم اللہ تعالیٰ کا ہم پہ احسان ہے کہ اس نے
and to rectify and reform the doctrines and the morals of the world. However, despite believing in him and despite coming to have faith in him, there are many amongst us in whom there is a disparity between what they practice and what they preach. There is a large number of people in the members of the Jamaat whose words and deeds are not of the level that is expected of them. There is a very large proportion of the members of the Jamaat to whom indeed Ahmadiyyat is of second nature or is entrenched within them. That is, if they are asked or if they are questioned that are you Ahmadis, they will respond that mashallah, our fathers, grandfathers, our forefathers, they became Ahmadis in this way. They were Sahabis or companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. This and this account of our forefather is mentioned or included in the history of Ahmadiyyat and the history of the companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. In fact, some of them even inform me of this. That this account of a companion that you related in such and such Friday sermon, because I have been relating the accounts of the Sahabi or the companions in many of my sermons. So they inform me that he was my forefather or my grandfather or my great-grandfather. Indeed, their faith is of the kind that the assaults and the attacks of the enemies cannot distance them from Ahmadiyyat. They have also sacrificed their time, wealth and honor for the sake of Ahmadiyyat. And in the same way their forefathers have. And there may be many amongst you sitting here who are of this category. However, we cannot also deny the fact that the progress of nations can never be achieved until we keep our eyes wide open, until we ourselves carry out a self-analysis. So therefore we cannot deny the fact that amongst the members of Ahmadiyyat, amongst these very people, there are some practical weaknesses. There are weaknesses in terms of Hakukullah, the rights due to Allah. There are weaknesses in Hakukul Abad, the rights due to other people. In terms of the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, it was to inculcate a revolution within the inner state of people. And that darkness which existed and had overcome the hearts after 1400 years or during the 1400 years to convert that darkness into light. This was the purpose of the coming of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Our forefathers, our ancestors, they developed this revolution within themselves. They came into the light from the darkness. They developed revolutionary changes within their inner state. They developed mutual harmony between their practical actions and their doctrines and beliefs. However, the generations after have not attained that same level. Thus, we need to assess our own selves. Are we truly making efforts to elevate the standard of our practical state? Are we attaining those standards that our forefathers reached, whether they were Sahabi or companions or those who became Ahmadis at a later time? A large proportion of the members of Jamaat in the USA are also Afro-Americans. When their forefathers accepted Ahmadiyya, they made immense sacrifices and developed revolutionary changes within themselves. However, now, we need to self-analyze our own selves. That is that same standard being maintained in the future generations? We need to assess and observe that is there any contradiction perhaps between our doctrines and how we actually act? We need to look over that pledge and slogan of keeping precedence of our faith over the world. That is it just a temporary, passionate statement that we are making? Those conditions upon which we have taken the pledge of allegiance upon the promised Messiah on whom be peace, to make that a part and parcel of our lives, are we truly making the required practical efforts to do this? So therefore, it is this self-analysis and self-evaluation that can take us towards progress and that can harmonize and enable to correspond what we practice and what we preach. In order to draw attention towards the self-analysis and self-evaluation, amongst the conditions of the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance, I would like to draw attention towards a most important matter. This is also amongst the pillars of Islam, the second pillar. The Holy Quran has repeatedly inculcated towards this matter. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also repeatedly inculcated towards this matter. This important matter is namaz, or the formal prayer. In the third condition of the bed, the initiation or the pledge of allegiance, the promised Messiah on whom be peace, drawing attention towards fulfilling the right due to Allah the Almighty, has first of all mentioned this foundational pillar that those who come into my pledge should promise that they should regularly offer and perform the five daily prayers in accordance with the commandments of Allah and the Messenger. Here it is not only stated that pledge that I shall perform the five daily prayers. In fact, what it is said regarding the five daily prayers is that it is in accordance with the command of Allah the Almighty and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is Allah and His Messenger, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who have commanded this, and we should do it in accordance with their commands. Regarding the formal prayer, what has Allah the Almighty commanded? Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and observe the prayer. The command for the observance of prayer is mentioned in the Holy Quran in numerous places. In fact, at the outset of Surah Al-Baqarah, after Iman Bil-Ghayb, belief in the unseen, attention has been drawn to this matter of formal prayer. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated, a person can never attain nearness to Allah the Almighty until Iqamat al-Salah is observed. That is, the establishment or the observance of prayer is not acted upon. In this age, the significance of the observance of prayer increases further. For alongside the promise of Khilafat, Allah has drawn attention towards this matter, that the reward of Khilafat, the blessing of Khilafat, is only associated with those people who pay heed towards the observance of prayer. What is the observance of prayer? That is, performing prayer in congregation. It is performing prayer regularly and performing prayer on time. God the Exalted states, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. that observe prayer and pay the zakat and prostrate or bow with those who bow. That is, that you should gather together and congregate and submit or prostrate or bow with those who pray. So therefore, to those who pray, to those who perform financial sacrifices, the distinction that has been mentioned regarding them. And it is said that they should contain this distinction within them. That they possess the characteristic of being a community, of having unity. And this is the command, that you should pray and worship as a jamaat, as a community. And as a jamaat, you should also perform financial sacrifices. This has also been mentioned. And the reason for this is that that work that is carried out because of being a jamaat or a community will be infused with blessings. Regarding the blessings of congregational prayers, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that those who perform the congregational prayers will receive blessings 27 times or fold. We hear in speeches, we hear in darses, radish lectures, we also have speeches prepared and also mention this to children. However, when the time comes to act upon it ourselves, full attention is not given by people. Thus, apart from some extreme obligation or mitigating circumstance, you must perform prayers in congregation. However, as I said, if we assess, then what will come forth and what will we see before us is that that attention is not given towards congregational prayer that should be given towards it. With the grace of the Almighty Allah in the USA, there is great attention being given towards constructing mosques. However, they can only be a benefit of constructing these mosques when you also do justice to the building of the mosques. And the right of the mosque is by populating the mosque. And in order to populate the mosque, the standard that has been set by Allah the Supreme, that is to come to the mosque 5 times a day to perform the prayers in congregation. There may indeed be many people who, due to being at work, cannot perform the prayers, or it is difficult for them to perform the prayers 5 times a day in the mosque. However, there is Fajr, Maghrib and Isha. This excuse will not work there. You can attend during these prayers at the mosque. I am aware that in the Jamaat Ahmadiyya worldwide, there are many people who live in these Western countries. They live 15 or 20 miles away from the mosque. Yet, even then, they come to the mosque for the prayers. If for some reason they cannot perform the Zuhr or the Asr prayers, then as I stated, these people make every effort to attend the Fajr, Maghrib and Isha prayers. Here, almost everyone has a means of transport for their worldly endeavors. They utilize their own personal mode of transport. If for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, if for the sake of worship of God you use these modes of transport that you possess, then the purpose of this mode of transport will also be to serve the faith. And you also facilitate your spiritual and also worldly lives. If there is some extreme obligation, then if there are any Ahmadi households nearby, you should perform the prayers in congregation by meeting in somebody's home. Arrangements can be made to this effect. Where there are homes in isolation, there you can perform the congregational prayers with your wife and your children, and you should make efforts in this regard. This is so that the children also understand the importance of performing prayers in congregation. If you wake up your children for the Fajr prayer in the morning, then where on the one hand they will come to understand the significance of the prayer, there they will also be saved from all sorts of useless things. For example, there are some people who are keen or who have the habit of during the weekend to watch TV or sitting on the internet until late night. Then, as a result of waking up early for the prayers, they will have the habit of, first of all, sleeping early, and they will not uselessly waste their time. In particular, those children who are now entering into adulthood. By waking up in the morning for prayers, they will be inclined towards performing all their worldly activities in moderation. Sometimes there are some worldly obligations. There are some good things in the world to observe or some things to gain knowledge. I do not stop them from this. However, there should be moderation in everything. To give up the offering of the obligatory prayers at the expense of obtaining these worldly things is utter stupidity. Further, there is another instance where sometimes people have obligations on the day off. Sometimes people have arranged for family outings. Leaving aside any program for a family outing, if there is no such plan, then maximum efforts must be made to come to the mosque for the congregational prayers and to bring your children alongside. Many people complain that the children do not have the habit of attending the mosque, or that some children are being ruined. They can only be cured or remedied when, from the outset of childhood, you put the habit into them that they fulfill the right of God, and that right of God can be fulfilled through performing the prayer. If children from childhood have the realization that prayer is a fundamental thing, without which a Muslim cannot even be called a Muslim, then when he enters or she enters adulthood, then that habit will be strengthened. Then these complaints from the parents will never exist that the children have gone astray. Further, even if you form a plan to go out for leisurely activities or for fun, so where on the one hand you facilitate your worldly desires, there wherever you may be, the entire family should perform the prayers in congregation. It is my experience, it is many people's experiences also who inform me that when they go out for leisurely outings, for entertainment or for fun, where the entire family have performed the prayer in congregation at prayer time, then this has created interest in the people around them, and they started observing them. New avenues of tabligh are also opened thus, and this enables one to give an introduction. Generally, people of the world hold the assumption regarding Muslims that only such people pray who are extremists. When these people notice and observe that these very people who are out on these leisurely activities and in this place of fun, yet the young children, men and women are all performing the prayers. However, they will think that these people wear the same clothes as us, yet in their prayers they are deeply involved and full of concentration. This will most certainly create interest in them. There are many people, as I have said, who relate their experiences. How? Because of offering the prayer, other people were attracted towards them, and new avenues of tabligh were thus opened. So therefore, you should never fall into any inferiority complex. Neither should children, nor should elders ever fall to this inferiority complex. It is our claim that a spiritual revolution has to be formed in the world by us. So this spiritual and revolution of the faith can only be created by those people who are free from all types of inferiority complex. By those people who, first of all, develop a spiritual revolution within themselves. This revolution, spiritually and of the faith, can never be formed without worship. And in order to fulfill the right of worship, the most important and significant matter is the namaz, the formal prayer. Thus safeguard your prayers. Allah the Almighty in the Holy Quran states, Hafizu ala salawate, that is, safeguard and protect your prayers. The meaning of hafaza means to perform it regularly and then to safeguard that. Then Allah the Almighty states that every such prayer, you should especially take care of and safeguard every such prayer, which is Salat al-Wusta, the middle prayer. That is to say, those prayers that come about during the time of your engagements or when you are busy, or those prayers which for any reason whatsoever cannot be performed with due justice, etiquettes, and on time due to any worldly engagements. It says that you must absolutely look over those prayers in particular, because slackness in prayers will take you out of the list of the submissive and obedient people. Therefore, Allah, the Supreme, draws attention towards the safeguarding of prayers. Further, Allah the Almighty especially draws attention towards offering and safeguarding those prayers which, as a result of your slackness of the self and worldly engagements, are not offered. Or they are not offered fulfilling the due right or with complete justice, because some people offer their prayers very quickly. This is not fulfilling the right of the prayer or doing it with justice. Further, Allah the Almighty states, وَقُونُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand up, being submissive to Allah. That is, your entire focus should be fixed on the prayers. Further, it says that worldly thoughts and considerations should not overcome your thoughts. In your mind during the prayers, it should be that God whom I am standing before, I must fulfill His commands perfectly and completely. When you create this state, it is then that regarding such worshippers, regarding such people who pray, Allah the Almighty states that these prayers are also those that will safeguard you. It is such prayers that will guard you and overlook you. They will prevent you from performing bad deeds. They will fill your homes with blessings. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, I have counseled my Jamaat exactly this, that do not offer prayers that develop disinterest and are not from the heart. In fact, try to pray from the heart through which they developed interest and also tranquility. Then Allah the Almighty states that Inna Salata Tanha Anil Fashahi Wal Munkar, that most certainly prayers prevents one from performing undesirable and bad acts. So therefore it should always be remembered that prayers prevents one from all sorts of bad and useless things. However, not all prayers do this, and not every worshipper is able to achieve this. Not every worshipper is prevented from bad. Only that type of worshipper can reform him or herself, or only that type of prayer reforms a worshipper, which is done with complete submission and obedience. When it is performed with this understanding and discernment, that Allah the Almighty is one who looks at my every act and every deed, I am standing before that God who observes my every action and all my conditions. These are those prayers performed with complete submission and obedience which truly safeguard and overlook a person. And in those homes in which such prayers are performed, their state completely transforms. So therefore, we need to search for precisely these kind of prayers. It is only then that we can truly fulfill our pledge of allegiance, our bet. It is not that we stand up for the prayer And our focus and attention is upon our worldly engagements. It is upon our worldly desires. Or that we sometimes perform the prayer and at other times we miss the prayer. So once again, I state that every single one of us needs to self-evaluate and self-assess. Those who live in these countries due to worldly engagements do not give attention towards the prayer. Although this is also the state of those living in cities in the third world countries. But nonetheless, there is a significant proportion of people who do go to the mosques. Despite the fact that I have repeatedly drawn attention towards this fundamental and principal pillar of Islam, and the Khulafa before me have also repeatedly drawn attention towards this. Further, now, in this era, the Almighty has granted us the blessing of MTA. If previously the voice of the Khalifa was not conveyed at that very moment and immediately to all parts of the world, now that voice of the Khalifa and the message of Allah the Almighty and the Messenger is conveyed and reaches all over the world instantly. If there are some amongst us who do not listen to these sermons and speeches, or listen to it devoid of interest, it enters one ear and it goes out their other, then those people are not those who fulfill that pledge of allegiance that they will give precedence to their faith over the world, that they will obey all maruf or good decisions made by the Khalifa, that I will fully obey. These are actions that are devoid of obedience when you listen to something in one ear and it goes out the other. These are actions which remove a person from complete submission. Allah the Almighty severely warns such people. Allah the Almighty states, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. That woe upon such worshippers who remain negligent of their prayers. This negligence is also developed by not giving attention towards the congregational prayers. This negligence is developed by not performing their prayer regularly. This negligence is by not trying to fix your attention completely upon the prayer. There is no doubt that sometimes one's attention does not remain fully on the prayer. However, it is necessary to keep on bringing your focus back on the prayer. This is also one meaning of Iqamatul Salah, the observance and the establishment of the prayer. Thus, this is a matter of great fear and trepidation. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam and be peace, drawing our attention towards this important principle, states that if a person who has not accepted me, he performs errors, then he may indeed be a sinner. However, those who follow me, who believe me, who perform an ahd-e-bayt, a pledge of allegiance, and do not live up to that, they will be questioned to a greater extent. Thus, this is an immense responsibility upon every single Ahmadi. This responsibility cannot be discharged until you have the realization that I will be questioned before Allah the Almighty. The pledge of allegiance that I have made, swearing oath by God, which if I do not fulfill, I will have to answer before God. If you keep on thinking in this manner, it is only then that you can discharge your responsibility. So therefore, elders must understand their responsibility, as must children. Men and women must all understand their responsibilities. Here in many households, the restlessness that exists, the reason why it exists is because they do not have attention towards the worship of God as there should be attention towards it. Some people, when they have mulaqats or meetings with me and they request me for prayers, I normally say to them that you should pray for yourselves also. You should give attention towards the prayers. When they are asked that, are you performing the prayers with regularity? then some people respond in the negative. I generally say to such people that do not joke with the religion, do not consider the religion to be a joke. That you yourselves do not have the habit towards prayers and worship, there's no attention towards it. Yet you are requesting prayers for your worldly matters and worldly concerns. First of all, give attention towards God yourselves, then request for prayers, until you yourselves do not inculcate a transformation within your state, or you yourselves do not make your maximum efforts to inculcate reformation within. The prayers of others will have no impact upon you. The Jamaat, or the community that the promised Messiah on whom be peace came to establish, was such a community. Which is filled with people who develop a relationship with Allah the Almighty. Such people who safeguard their worship. Thus, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states that I have come to end the worship of the saints. Do not become those who worship the so-called ascetics and saints. The promised Messiah said, do become a saint. However, the type of ascetic or saint that the promised Messiah on whom be peace wanted to make his followers are not those kind of so-called Muslim saints of today, who hold tasbih, the beads in their hands, and believe that our worship and the discharging of our other rites have been fulfilled just by this. Prayers are not needed and worship is not needed, is what they believe. People are far removed from the prayer amongst these people. They do not perform the prayers themselves. And these ascetics and so-called saints today of the world, they even say to their followers that prayers are not required. There are many such so-called saints today who say this. Such sayyids or such saints are not of those who lead one towards guidance. In fact, they are those who lead one to misguidance. Hadrat Khalif Tomasi II, that is Hadrat Khalif Tomasi Asani, has related an account with reference to Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, may Allah be pleased with them. There was one of his sisters or relatives who was a follower of a certain saint or peer. He had brainwashed that girl that you do not need to offer prayers or worship. All you have to do is follow me. I have given some counsels. Just follow that and that is enough. You do not need to do anything else. You do not need to pray. You will be forgiven. So Hadrat Khalif Tomasid Awwal I, one day said to the sister or relative that ask your peer sahab, your so-called saint, that on the day of accountability, on the day of judgment, Allah the Almighty will ask you about prayers and worship. What will you answer? When the angels will block your path to heaven and you'll be asked about piety, what will you ask? So this lady asked her saint who she followed. He said, the angels will stop you in your path from entering heaven. Say that I followed this and this peer or sayyidzada, that is a certain saint, he was referring to himself, and then the angels will move out of your path. The saint then said, and in terms of my question, when the angels will ask me, I will respond that in the field of Karbala, the sacrifices made by my elders, have you forgot that? The grandson of the Prophet, from whose progeny I am, who made those sacrifices, have you forgot those sacrifices? The angels will become embarrassed and they will leave the path free for me. So this is the state of these so-called Muslim saints today. And this saint said, I will then simply stroll into heaven. We, the followers of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, are not to become these kind of saints. We need to inculcate those revolutionary changes within us, which can transform our state. We need to bring about a revolution in our family, our children, and our future generations. And we need to bring about a revolution in this society at large. So therefore, always remember, our doctrines and belief alone will not save us. Neither will our doctrines and belief alone bring about revolutionary changes. Rather, it is our practical actions that will, inshallah, bring about a revolutionary change. And most of all, it is our prayers that when are accepted by Allah the Supreme, it will bring about a revolution in the entire world. The best means of offering prayers is the namaz, the offering of the formal prayers. So therefore, every single Ahmadi has the duty of safeguarding their namaz, their formal prayers. And most of all, when all of these Ahmadis all over the world have their attention towards this and perform the prayers in this manner, they will be the means of bringing about a tremendous revolution. So therefore, to strengthen the hand of Khilafat, it is the duty of every single Ahmadi that give attention towards prayers. So that revolution that is attached to the promised Messiah and whom be peace, which as a result of which the majority of the world will come under the banner of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and will unite thus. That revolution that will come about through the means of prayers, that can come about. So therefore, every single Ahmadi must always remember this point and must safeguard their prayers, must safeguard the prayers of their children, and must give attention towards this. This is so that rapidly and quickly we can bring the entire world to raise the banner of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So that the mercy of Allah the Almighty can be absorbed by us and our future generations. The mercy of Allah the Almighty is also attracted through the worship of Allah the Almighty and is showered upon those whom Allah the Almighty has promised with regards to prayers. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ is stated by Allah the Almighty. وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ and observe the prayer and pay the zakat and obey the messenger so that you are shown mercy. So thus, if you want to be those who are the recipients of the mercy of Allah the Almighty, you need to also make efforts to safeguard and offer the prayers. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, again and again has inculcated his followers and drawn their attention towards the prayer. So where on the one hand we are those who fulfill the rite of the bayt, the pledge of allegiance, we are those who come near to God, we can also attain the mercy of Allah the Almighty and cater for our life in this world and hereafter. The promised Messiah says, all those people who count yourselves amongst my Jamaat, in the heavens you will only be counted in my Jamaat when truly you tread on the path of taqwa. Therefore, perform your 5 daily prayers with such fear and trepidation as if you are seeing God before you. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that remember most certainly that no action reaches God that is devoid of taqwa. The root of every piety is taqwa. Where this root is not wasted, that deed will also not be wasted. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, what is prayer? It is that supplication performed with tasbih, tahmid, taqdis, and istighfar, seeking forgiveness, and durood sharif with great passion and zeal. Thus, when you offer the prayer, do not pray like those people unaware, and pray with only the words of Arabic. Do not remain limited to that, because the prayers of such people and their istighfar are all ceremonial practices. There is no reality about it. However, when you pray, then apart from the Quran, which is the word of God, and apart from certain prescribed prayers and words, which are the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all your other prayers and supplications, pray in your own words and language, and pray with passion and zeal, so that this humbleness and humility can have some impact on your heart. So therefore, this is a state which we must try to achieve in our prayers. And it is this humbleness and humility that then becomes a means of attracting the mercy of God. Then such people become the recipient of the bounties and grace of God. It is such prayers which the promised Messiah, in whom be peace, wanted to see us perform. In one place the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, prayer is such a matter that through it the heaven submits to a person. That is, Allah the Almighty displays to one who worships in this way manifestations of the acceptance of prayer. One who performs the prayer truly believes that he has died and his soul has fallen upon the threshold of the divine. In the house where such a prayer is performed, that home can never be ruined. It is mentioned in the hadith, if prayer was done in this way in the time of Noah, that nation or people would never be destroyed. Hajj is also conditional upon a person. The promised Messiah states, Hajj is conditional upon a person as is fasting and zakat. However, prayer is not conditional. In other words, that is, all other types of worship are attached with conditions. If those conditions are fulfilled, then they are performed, otherwise they are not. They are not obligatory. However, prayers in every situation is obligatory. If a person is on a journey, he is ill, whatever his state or circumstance, prayer is obligatory if he is in full consciousness and in his senses. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says that all these other conditional worships are once a year. However, the commandment for prayer is daily, 5 times a day. Thus, until you perform the prayers fully, you will also not have the blessings which can be obtained through it. And neither will there be any use of the Pledge of Allegiance. Thus, this observance of the prayer and this safeguarding of the prayer, this is an explanation of that the Promised Messiah has just expounded. And this has been expected of every single Ahmadi. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, otherwise, there is no point whatsoever of taking the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance. As I stated, every single Ahmadi needs to keep the importance of this in view, so that we can demonstrate through our actions, that we can inform the entire world, that after coming into the fold, the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah, we have inculcated those pious transformations that have enabled us to meet God. There are many new converts who write letters to me. I have noticed Allah the Almighty has created a revolution within them due to the prayers. Thus, every single Ahmadi, especially the old Ahmadi families, must always remember this. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, you should have such enthusiasm, zeal and passion in your prayers, but that can only be received through the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Therefore, you should first of all pray that, O Allah, create in me that state of nearness to you. For this, the promised Messiah has taught a prayer and has said that this is what you should pray, that, O Allah, you see me, that how I am blind and deaf. My condition is like that of a dead person. I am aware that in a short while a voice will call out and I will come to you. In other words, soon I will be called into the next world, at which point no one will be able to stop me. However, my heart is devoid of light and is blind. Infuse it with such a beam of light that enthusiasm and passion for you is developed. Bless it and bestow such grace upon it that I do not leave this world amongst those who are blind and devoid of light. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, when a person supplicates in this way and is regular in this supplication, he will observe that such a time will arrive that in his prayer, which is devoid of enthusiasm, something will descend upon him from the heavens, which will create great enthusiasm within him. May Allah the Almighty grant all of us the ability to pray in this manner. After the Friday prayers, I will also lead 2 funeral prayers in absentia. One is of our Murabbi Silsala, who is living in Indonesia. That is, a missionary. His name is Amar Maruf Aziz Sahib. He passed away on 16th June and returned to his Lord. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He was born on 6 December 1952 and was a born Ahmadi. In 1989 he was enrolled in Jamia, and then in 1987 he graduated with a Mubashir course from Rabwa. He then was appointed in Indonesia. Allah the Almighty enabled him to serve in various locations and in various capacities. At the time before his death, he was serving in Jamia Ahmadiyya, Indonesia. He also served as the regional Muballigh, that is, until 2011 he was in Jamia Ahmadiyya, and then after that he was regional Muballigh East. He was a very knowledgeable person, mashallah. He had translated the book of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, Tawziya Miram, into Indonesian. He also regularly translated my sermons into Indonesian. The deceased was also a Muslim. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank and also grant patience and solace to the family he leaves behind. He leaves behind a wife, a son, and two daughters. The second funeral of one of our ladies from London who has been serving for a long time, Mukarrama Tahira Vanderman Sahiba, the wife of Mukarram Nawab Mahmood Vanderman Sahib, the late. She passed away on 18th June 2012 at the age of 84. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She was the daughter of Ghulam Yasin Sahib. Ghulam Dastagheer Sahib was her maternal grandfather, and he was a companion of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, as was his brother. Her father was a civil servant in the Indian government. He gave very good upbringing and moral training to his children. The deceased was educated in Qadian, and then in 1947 onwards she resided in Karachi. In 1949, she then was married to Mahmood Vanderman Sahib and moved to England. After the migration of Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV, she worked in the private secretary's office and was also in the English letters team for a long period of time, where she was unable to serve. Hazrat Khalifa Masih Rabi also mentioned her in Jalsa Salana, and also mentioned and praised her services. With great sincerity, she would perform her work. She never considered it a great burden. Whatever work she was given, she would do that work and bring it back. A few days before she had passed away, she sent a relative to the office to give the letters. It was always her demand that give me more work, despite the fact of her illness and weakness. She would work with great endeavor. If less work was given to her, she would be extremely worried and anxious. She also worked in my letters. That is, she had been working for approximately 22 years. I have seen her for the last 9 years. Her summaries of my letters, first of all, were very excellent. Then she would highlight any important points, and I would never have any concern or trouble reading her summary. She would also convey the thesis or the crux of the person writing the letter. This was her great quality, that whilst making a summary wherever she deemed it necessary that a portion had to be read, she would definitely highlight it. In this way, I liked her summaries most of all, and it was also very easy to reply based on the summaries that she provided. In the same way, for 20 years, she had the opportunity by Allah the Almighty to teach the Holy Quran. She would also translate articles at the Ahmadiyya Bulletin from Urdu to English. Three daughters and two sons and also grandchildren are also left behind in her family. May Allah the Almighty also enable them to remain attached to Khilafat and continue enabling them to serve the Jamaat. Nadeem Vanderman Sahib, her son, is also serving as the assistant editor of the Ahmadiyya Bulletin. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. As I stated, I will lead a funeral prayers in absentia after the Friday prayers.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.